everybody. This is Gary Benoit with another episode of Beyond the Cover. And today we'll be talking about the September 6th issue of the magazine, and specifically the cover story, When Children Cancel Parents. And we have with us the author of that cover story, Selwyn Duke. Now, Selwyn, that title sounds to me very provocative. Children canceling parents? What do you mean by that?
Okay, Gary. Well, we've seen in recent times, especially with what some people call Trump derangement syndrome, but really it's a lot more serious than that implies, this phenomenon whereby children are actually disowning their parents because the parents espouse conservative views. And in my article, I talk about this writer. Her name is Karen Boddy, and she talks about her experiences and those of her acquaintances, all involving children who disown their parents. And she says that in her case, her children just hated Donald Trump with a demonic passion. And one thing led to another. Her children didn't want her to talk about God around them anymore. And she and her husband really couldn't oblige them on that count because they are people of faith, even though she said they wouldn't proselytize. And then she said that January 6th was the last straw when that incident occurred. Even though she and her husband were not even there, had nothing to do with it, her kids completely disowned them. All communication ceased. So this is a problem that has become worse with time because we're becoming so fractured as a society, as you know.
Well, you even used the word disowned. That's a very strong word. Cutting off communication completely. It almost sounds someone like man bites dog story. Is this one in a million, or based on your research, is this pretty common?
Well, it's more common than we would like, that's for sure. As I mentioned, that writer Boddy cited her own story and other stories of people she knows. And then in the article, I cited one or two other people who suffered this fate. So unfortunately, it's increasingly common, I would say. And it's because we see this generational chasm. We see that each succeeding generation is more indoctrinated with lies, with what some people call leftism, than the preceding generation. They're not united by truth, which is really the only thing that could unite people because it's the only thing that's universal. It's objective, universal, eternal, unchanging. So yeah, it's more common than we would like.
Now, would you also say that this is a recent phenomenon because you tied it to the Trump or anti-Trump syndrome? Are children canceling their parents much more so than generations ago?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, obviously, look, things like this have always happened to some degree, let's face it. Sometimes political rifts could divide families. But we see it in all aspects of our society where the left, the so-called left and so-called right, have become more and more distant. Really, a huge chasm separates them now. And of course, we see that now within families. And a lot of people, Gary, will say, well, the problem was the kid went off to college and then he changed. I mean, one man who I found online, who I cited, he said, yeah, we raised him as an altar boy. He was sitting next to us when we listened to conservative talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, whatever the case was. We took him to pro-life events. Then he went off to college and he went off the rails. And what we have to understand, though, is this. That's a common lament, but we have to ask, Gary, is college a cause or is it a catalyst? And what I mean is, you have kids who go off to college. I'm thinking of one I know right now, who maybe listen to the lunacy being peddled by their professors, but they don't really believe it. They might yes their professors to death, but when they graduate, they even have a better understanding of the lunacy of leftism. But other kids have the same experiences, and they're seemingly transformed by them. But again, that's just a catalyst in many cases, in that there was a potential there that was catalyzed by their college experiences. And this is important to understand, Gary, because we have to realize that the seeds for this are sown when kids are very, very young. You know, there's a saying that's attributed to Aristotle that goes, "Show me a child at seven, and I'll show you the man." We all know how significant early years socialization is. By the time a child is seven, his basic foundation is very, very hard to change. I mention in my essay this psychologist, Nikolai Senels. He talks about that too. He worked with Muslim delinquent youth in Europe, and he said that once you're seven, that foundation is very resistant to change. So what this tells us is that we have to take care to make sure that our kids are formed properly early. We can't just make sure they go to the right colleges, and that's not done enough by parents either, of course. We should not send kids to left-wing propaganda mills, and we shouldn't be funding these left-wing propaganda mills, furthermore. But if the twig is bent, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree, the saying goes. If the twig is bent early on, anything you do later on may be for naught. So how do you form kids properly? Well, first of all, you have to understand that people talk about the influence of education, and it is highly influential. They may talk about other things such as the media. That's significant too. But what they forget is that entertainment is very, very significant. Children maybe aren't always listening in schools, Gary. They're not going to be watching the news all that much when they're young, but they will imbibe countless hours of entertainment. And that's what shapes them emotionally at a very young age. And the ancient Greek philosopher Plato talked about this. He said that children should be raised in an atmosphere of nobility and grace.
Well,
so they develop.
Do you think children could be raised in a bubble? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, it's funny. People will say, well, you can't raise children in a bubble. And my response is, actually, you can. And everyone raises children in a bubble of some kind, even if that just means insulating the kids from snuff films and peers who are absolutely toxic and pornography, even if it just means that. So it's just a question of where you're going to draw the line. We always insulate our kids from bad influences. But I was talking about the ancient Greek philosopher Plato, and he talked about how children should be raised in an atmosphere of nobility and grace so that they develop an erotic attachment to virtue. Now, by erotic, he didn't mean sexual, but emotional. And his point was that if this is accomplished at young ages, then when the child reaches the age of reason, Gary, he's going to be more receptive to the dictates of reason. However, in just the way that you can develop that erotic attachment to virtue, and it's pretty difficult to do, especially nowadays, a child can also develop this erotic, this emotional attachment to vice. And once that happens, once that's the way he's shaped, then when he gets older, Gary, what's going to happen is he's going to gravitate very often towards ideologies, towards things in the intellectual realm that prey upon his character defects. You see, that's what's often happening when kids go off to college. And that's why I said college is often just a catalyst, because the die has already been cast. So what you have to do, it's implied by what we've been talking about, is you have to raise children in the right kind of bubble. You really have to insulate your kids from modern entertainment. You have to have a discerning eye. As someone once said on EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this was many years ago, he said, the only way to not become a victim of this culture is to become a critic of it. And you have to view the elements of this culture, Gary, not as innocent until proven guilty, but as guilty until proven innocent. Insulate your kids. They don't have to be exposed to modern entertainment. They don't have to have unfettered access to the internet. They don't have to go to school. Homeschooling has been growing in leaps and bounds with the COVID phenomenon because the schools have been closed. You don't have to let your kids be exposed to media that's peddling lies when they're very, very young. You can form them properly so that they have this attachment to virtue. And then when they grow up, when they have this virtue-based immune system, they'll more easily be able to tackle the lies of this world, and they won't be nearly as likely to fall victim to them.
So it's probably fair to say that you could have good parents who tried to teach their children based on tradition, based on basic morality and whatnot, but that the culture around the family is so strong that the influences of a corrupt culture could overcome what the parents are trying to do.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Gary, because that raises a very important point. A lot of people will say, well, it's the parents' values, quote unquote, that matter. But that's not entirely true, because that's sort of like saying, well, it doesn't matter what kind of poison the child imbibes outside the home as long as he has good nutrition inside the home. But as you know, you can give a child the best diet, but if he's consuming or imbibing enough toxins outside the home, that's all going to be for naught. And as a great friend of mine put it many years ago, this was a very wise statement. He said, people don't realize it, but peers' influence actually can be greater than parents' influence in one way. And that's that the children know that the parents' love is unconditional. Mm-hmm. They don't have to toe the parents' line in order to get it. But with peers and teachers, outsiders, it's very, very different. If you don't accept their culture, quote unquote, you're not going to have their affection. You're maybe not going to have their friendship. So in that way, again, outsiders' influence can be even greater, and this has to be borne in mind. And like you said, there are many, many good parents who do their absolute best, but nonetheless, they end up with this problem, with kids who are indoctrinated and who disown them. The body I mentioned, I know body sounds like a physical body, Karen Body is her name, the writer I mentioned earlier. She and her husband seem like very, very nice people, but you know, we have that saying, nice guys finish last. It's not enough to be nice. Being nice is good, but you also have to understand what's going on in our society. You have to be rooted to truth and virtue, and you have to have an eye for what reflects virtue and what reflects vice. You have to reject the latter. And again, you have to be aggressive, very aggressive about protecting your children, because there are people out there, Gary, who are very aggressive about indoctrinating them. I mean, I remember going back to the 1990s, there was this story out of the Riverdale Country School in the Bronx where I grew up, but this is a pretty good, pretty high-end private school. And there was this teacher there named Imani Matthews, who was a lesbian, and she was talking about indoctrinating the kids. And she actually said, with respect to this, this is pretty close to verbatim, there is no other side. And her point was that they didn't want the parents involved in what they were doing. They wanted to keep the parents in the dark. They wanted to be the ones to shape the kids. So my point is, that's just one example. This has been going on for decades and decades. The problem is more egregious than ever. And if you don't take measures to protect your kids from these cultural toxins in just the way you would protect them from physical toxins, from chemical toxins, then your kids very well may be lost to this world. You know, it's funny, a lot of people, Gary, talk about their kids being excellent, you know, excellent at sports or excellent at music. And to that end, they will invest a lot of money in tennis lessons or baseball training or music lessons. But they don't think enough very often about, instead of their kids being excellent, their kids being good. Good as in moral. And it's the same thing. It's just like teaching math or teaching tennis. Your kids are not necessarily going to become good by accident. You have to model virtue. You've got to try to cultivate it in your children. You've got to be just aggressive about that, just as aggressive about that as you are about trying to teach them the proper principles of mathematics or tennis or golf or whatever it may be.
In a nutshell, Selwyn, for the final question, what would you recommend the parents? You mentioned a couple things along the way, such as homeschooling or at least getting the kids out of the public schools. Any other suggestions?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good one. I said earlier, you've got to insulate them from modern entertainment. I mean, that is absolutely imperative. You know, and I think here about this story I read years ago. I forgot who related it, but it was someone who got on the inside of some Hollywood circle. And he told his story about how they were sitting around brainstorming some kind of show they were going to create, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And they actually said, how can we get this message across? And the message, of course, referred to some left-wing social message. And his point was, he didn't realize prior to then how conscious this was. But these people actually were very, very proactive about their indoctrination. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I can think of to say right now. Protect your children.
Yeah. Right, and a lot of it, too, just knowing what you're dealing with. Selwyn, we really appreciate having you on today, and we recommend that everybody go to the September 6th issue of the New American Magazine to read Selwyn's article entitled When Children Cancel Parents, and the information for accessing that issue of the magazine, as well as subscribing to the New American, is available in the description for the video. Thank you very much.